Poke him on.
Yours, not mine.
Okay, so let's go. My two first questions are about your former books. My first question is about something you said in Lunar Park, or actually your character, Bret Easton Ellis, said. If I remember correctly, he said that he is the greatest living American writer under 40. So would you have any comment about it now, today? Or do you want to add something?
Well, it was a joke. I was making fun of myself. The Bret Easton Ellis character actually says that out loud. No, I do not. I never thought I was one of the better American writers of my generation. I thought there were always better writers. And that's why I'm always shocked.
Over 40. But
no, my age. Well, I wrote Lunar Park when I was under 40.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But my age, no. I always thought there were better writers than me. There were better writers than me when I was in college. We talked about this. My friend Eric, the mm-hmm. famous Eric, who actually never got published. But he was the best writer of us all. But he got derailed by drugs and things. But he should have been the one who had the book published. So I've never rated myself against my contemporaries. I've never felt that I'm part of a literary tradition or a literary scene, and I don't really pay that much attention to the rankings of who is considered the best writer. But I do read a lot of writers, and I do kind of keep up with people my age, though less so than I did when I was younger.
So now, today, which writer is impressing you the most now?
Jonathan Franzen is impressing me the most. His new novel, Freedom, is the best American novel I've read in maybe 20 years. Major, major novel, and not only a...
The new one?
The new one, yeah. Not only a major just storytelling, piece of storytelling or piece of narrative, but... as a statement of purpose, it's a hugely important novel because it's
statement of purpose.
C'est une déclaration de but, d'intention.
D'accord. Okay.
Just by the very nature of what it insists the novel can be, and so many writers, Franzen is I think 5 years older than me, 6 years older than me. So many, but I still regard that of us in the same generation. I'm 46. He's 51. I still feel that I'm part of his generation of writers, and it is true. Most of us did get caught up in a kind of, I don't know, technique over feeling. Technical tricks instead of emotion. And that seemed to be, and he's arguing for the social realist novel, kind of the social realism of Tolstoy, but doing it as an American. And bringing back narrative feeling and narrative emotion to this kind of fiction that most of the men of my generation, we were interested in other devices, other tricks, whether it was David Foster Wallace or myself and minimalism and my own aesthetic, which was not particularly an emotional one. He's bringing it back to that, and it's very important.
Franzen, il ramène l'émotion.
Oui, oui,
ouais,
alors c'est, il ramène le réalisme social.
Okay.
Il s'éloigne de l'émotion, etc.
Thank you. Okay, so another very anecdotic question. I mean, this one is anecdotic. In the Rules of Attraction, there is a chapter, if I remember, written in French.
Bad French.
Yeah, well, no,
French.
All right. I mean, you can feel it's not a...
I had someone translated it for me when I was very busy, and they did not a good job, I don't think, because many people have complained about the French in that chapter.
No, I mean, it's correct, but you can feel it's not a French guy
who wrote it.
So was it a friend of you? Or?
Yes, it was a friend of mine who said she was much better with French than I think she actually was.
No, she wasn't
and
right.
No,
she wasn't right. Don't be too.
I don't know her name. So.
Okay. So Imperial Bedrooms is the sequel of Less Than Zero, and you. So we can meet again, see again the same characters 20 years later, but in all of your books, we can meet again some characters from the previous books. And so is it that you have the same ambition as Balzac, you know, to build his, like he built his comedy humaine, his human comedy? Do you want to build a world which would be a monde parallèle, a kind of parallel world, which would challenge the real world? You understand?
Yes, I understand, yeah? Yes. But no, I'm not doing that. No, I don't have that kind of ambition. I'm just writing these novels, and every now and then I like to use characters from one novel and put them in another one. I don't know why. I wish there was a plan, because this is the question I am asked most. I am most asked this: why do characters from other novels reappear in other novels, etc., etc., etc.? And I don't know. I think it's fun. Sometimes it's just fun.
Okay.
I think it's fun to do it. I think the Mitchell Allen character from Rules of Attraction, I put him in out of the blue. I was figuring out who Bret Easton Ellis's neighbor would be in Lunar Park, and I thought, well, what do I want to talk about this neighbor? I want to go into this, this, and this. Oh, well, what if we have Mitchell Allen, who Bret went to college with? Then I can talk about their history, and then also talk about what it was like to be in college at that time too, which I kind of wanted to do somewhere in the book, and that was the perfect way to do it. So it can happen like that sometimes, you know? An inelegant answer, but the truth, the truth.
Okay. Your Clay says to rain in Imperial Bedrooms, sorry, I'm translating from the French your sentence. I imagine there is more versions, several versions about what's happening now.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Don't you think that sentence could sum up all your work? Because in all your novels, neither the reader or the characters, they are never really sure about if they understand what's happening, you know, and if they have the good version, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's almost your main topic, you know, in all your books.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
I think it's because how I feel. It's how I feel. I mean, I think there is this question of what is reality, what is illusion. Oh, yes, our old friends, Mr. Reality versus Mr. Illusion. Yes, 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 yes. It's very, very, I guess, look, it's just life, I think, in a way. I mean, I could give a very fancy theory as to why I'm interested in that in my novels, but I can, right now, my answer to that is that I look back on my childhood, and I look back at the facade of my upper middle class childhood in Los Angeles, where it all seemed very lovely. My handsome father, my beautiful mother, my two sisters, the perfect house with the swimming pool, we were all nicely dressed, we looked like a perfect family, and then behind the facade, there was a lot of misery, there was abuse, there was alcoholism. You know, it's an old story, it's not a new story, but it does have an impact on you. You begin to wonder, well, the reality that we are presenting is not the reality. The reality is this sort of like performance. And that's why I think there are so many allusions to actors, to actresses, to performing in my books. I also think there was a shift when I became well known, when I was 21 with Less Than Zero. My perception of the world became skewed,
tordu.
Oui, c'est ça.
Tordu.
And it became, well, what's real and what's not real? I mean, are these my real friends? Is this my real lover? Is this person really interested in Bret, or is he interested in Bret Easton Ellis? And look, you can deal with it without going crazy, but it still alters your perception of the world in a way that I think has probably affected my fiction. I mean, there's just no
way
around it.
That's why you wrote The Rules of Attraction, which is the one of your novels which is exploring the most that question.
It is exploring that the most, and it's very interesting that is the most popular of the novels along the lines in terms of overall popularity, because it's not divisive in the way that like American Psycho is very many passionate defenders and also people who hate it and think it's terrible.
Okay.
But for some reason, Rules of Attraction is one that's not like on Amazon. It's the only book of mine that has 4 stars. The other books all have like they all get like 1 star, 5 star,
yeah,
one
yeah.
star, and it equals out to about 3. Rules of Attraction all gets about 3.5, 4, 3.5, 3, 4, 3, and people don't seem to be so bothered by that book.
So I'll check it with Amazon France because
I'm
this
sure
interview
it
is for Amazon.
Oh, it is for Amazon.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, in the United States, that is the case.
Okay. I'm always astonished by how you deal with your dialogues. Your dialogues, even when your characters are talking about nothing, they are full of energy and full of tension, you know. And I wanted to ask you if you have a special technique to write your dialogues, or if just like that. Do you follow some rules, or do you?
I just do it. It's one of those things. You know, I can't explain it. Look, when you're working on a novel, I mean, everything is very emotional, and you kind of have the novel in your head, and you know, or you feel what people would say back and forth to each other, how they would communicate with each other. It's just something as a novelist that it's easy for me to access. It's easy for me to go there and to do it. But it is true. I will write the dialogue many times and see if it works or not, see if I like it, see if it seems authentic. But I have to say that in Imperial Bedrooms, the dialogue is slightly different from the dialogue that I've written in the past, because it's the dialogue of a screenwriter, and it is very expository. It's very much how movie dialogue is, which is a series of reveals. It's question and an answer, over and over again, which is what movie dialogue is. And I was very conscious of a screenwriter narrating this novel and using the techniques of screenwriting to tell the story. So, but thank you for your compliment.
Puisque vous parlez de scénariste, your novels are most of the time in Los Angeles or in New York, and so do you like more Woody Allen or 24 Hours, you know, like the TV series or the...
I like both, you know. I like 24 and I like Woody Allen. I tend to write a book, I don't really think the book is about place so much. People think
about
l'endroit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, people tend to think that I write about Los Angeles or I've written about New York. I think I've just written stories that take place in those cities because I live there.
So what do you think when people say your atmosphere is like the David Lynch movie's atmosphere?
I say that I wasn't thinking about that when I was writing the book. We're talking specifically Imperial Bedrooms.
Imperial Bedrooms,
or
yes.
Like Mulholland Drive or Lost Highway or those movies. You know, I wasn't thinking about those films in particular, but I understand why people make that connection, yeah. I mean, now I was just reading something about David Lynch this morning, and someone was writing something about Mulholland Drive, and it was a very interesting idea of what that movie's about, I think, which is that it's a movie about people trapped in a movie, and it's a movie about how people behave when they're in a movie and they realize they're in a movie. That's so complicated. But anyway.
But it's a connection with Imperial Bedrooms.
Yeah, I mean.
You could say a bit the same.
Well, then again, it gets back to the whole idea of how many, when I look back at my novels, I'm shocked at how many actresses and actors are characters in my novels. There's a lot of them, from, you know, the girls in Glamorama to the wife of Lunar Park to, it's just, they're, you know, to Rain in Imperial Bedrooms. The woman as actress is very prevalent in many, many of the books. I don't know why.
You didn't grow up in that dans milieu, in that
No, but my mother wanted to be an actress.
Okay.
Ooh, what does this have to say? What is this about? I don't know.
I read that you usually, when you write a book, you make a big sketch, and
yes.
and before that, you make a plan, a big plan. And so in Imperial Bedrooms, you knew from the beginning where the story was going.
Once I figured out who the narrator was, which took a long
time.
Le narrator, yeah.
When I realized who the narrator was, then once I figured out who the narrator is, then the story stems from the narrator, comes from who the narrator is.
Yeah.
Because of who the narrator is, then I go, oh, well, then this is the story of the novel. If the narrator is like this person, well, then the story is going to be this. He's going to be involved in an actress who's going to be involved with a friend. It's going to be about a betrayal. And then this plot announces itself.
But when you know, at the beginning, someone, the narrator realized that someone gets into his apartment while he's away, do you have in mind what is it for and what will be the explanation at the end?
Yes, I know that. Yes, I do. I make a much bigger outline of what is going on in the novel than
outline,
what.
Outline,
c'est le plan.
C'est le plan. Ouais,
a much bigger outline than the novel. The outline, the first draft of the book is like two or three times longer, four times longer sometimes. And then when I become the technician and I start to shape it into a novel form, then a lot of things are discarded. But I'm
sorry,
discarded.
Il rejette beaucoup de choses. En fait, il fait un plan énorme. C'était le plan, ça engroupe énormément de choses. Et il fait le premier jet qui était déjà trois ou quatre fois plus long. Et puis c'est là il commence à jeter.
D'accord. Is it painful to cut?
No, not at all. one time it was. There were two cuts in this novel that were very painful to make. One cut was my editor and I got into an argument over the Palm Springs sequence near the end with the boy and the girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he thought I went too far and that there's some details that he found too grotesque. And he said that you have to remove them because they are distracting to the reader. Your point for the scene, you've made it. In fact, you've made it too much. So please, for me, just take a couple details away. And I did, and I regret it. I wish I had kept them. But it was a bad week, and he had ground me down. He'd beaten me down. And then the other one was, there's a sequence early on in the book where Clay takes an actress to lunch in a restaurant. And it's a restaurant that I go to a lot in Los Angeles. And in the back of the restaurant, there was this wall.
What's his name for the French lectors?
The
its name, the restaurant's name.
Luke, L-U-C-Q-U-E-S. L-U-C-Q-U-E-S. There's a silver wall. And I, no, actually, in the novel, I call it Comsaw. But the restaurant I based it on, okay? I just to clarify, I don't want that. Okay. The restaurant I based it on, has this silver wall in the back. And I had written five sentences describing the wall, and I thought they were fantastic writing. I was very proud of myself. I thought they were beautiful sentences about the silver wall, and it was just like it was like pure poetry and just so cool sounding. And then I realized Clay would never notice that wall. And I kept trying to keep it in there, but the whole point of the scene is his focus on this actress who he's trying to fuck, and it's like there's just no way that wall is going to come into play. It just is you showing off or thinking you're showing off, and you have to cut it. So I did cut that. But that happens a lot. That happened a lot in American Psycho, where in the notes on how to have the narrator narrate that book was no metaphors, because Patrick Bateman doesn't see things as something else. He sees them only as their surface, whatever. I mean, it's whatever. It's just I like working within a narrator's voice, but at times there is a limitation, you know. If to make the narrator sound authentic, there are some things you need to give up. Not every narrator should sound like a college professor, and in most American novels, no matter if it's a poor girl who lives in a shack in the woods, or it's a working class guy who works in an automobile station, everyone sounds like a college professor. Everyone waxes lyrical on the sky and on fields.
Dans quel type de livre les gens sont comme ça?
What book was it?
No, 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 no are
you don't
are sound
that
like
way.
College professors.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah, okay. C'est, il n'aime pas quand c'est.
Que ça, ouais, que ouais, ça ressemble au prof, c'est des
oui,
j'ai compris.
Quand
on parle de le personnage.
Ok, so maybe you can explain me something I didn't get, just a detail, you know, but when Clay is asking to the superintendent or the doorman, you know,
mm-hmm.
of his building, if anyone came in, you know, while he was away, you
mm-hmm.
know. The doorman says nobody came, you know, and I think there is no explanation. And I think in your books, usually, there is a lot of things which are not really explained, you know.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you if you do that for aesthetic reasons, you know, or just you don't want to bother with that.
I just don't want to bother. I just don't care. So I forgot. Yeah, someone was up in the apartment, but it's not No, you know, I mean, for this particular novel, yes, there's a lot of menace and there's a lot of low, this kind of like, this low, I want to say something you're going to have to translate, the low hum of fear. You know what I'm saying? Not knowing what's going on, the paranoia, the quiet isolation of it all. Yes, I think there's a logical reason as to there was someone in that apartment. Yes, there was. Clay's not making it up.
Yeah.
He noticed it. There was someone in that apartment, and I know who it was.
But how he did it? Did he pay the doorman or?
I don't know.
Okay.
Rip says at one point that he has friends in the building.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Because there's a scene where Clay comes back to his apartment and Rip's sitting on the couch. Drinking tequila.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right. Okay, so.
just throwing that out there. It's just a guess. I don't know.
Another thing I wanted to ask you, I mean, most personally, you know, like in Less Than Zero, your character Clay remembers, maybe you forgot that, I don't know, remembers that, that once he found an empty pack of Lucky Strike
mm-hmm.
next to his swimming pool
mm-hmm.
in Palm Springs
yes.
house,
yes.
and nobody in his family is,
yes.
you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
And I think that la présence de ce paquet de cigarettes n'est pas élucidée, you know, there is no explanation.
There's no explanation for the
cigarette.
And so, Could you tell me what was the meaning of that scene?
I think the meaning of that scene was that there was someone hanging around the house who didn't belong there. I don't know who that was. It could have been a burglar, someone who intended the family harm. But that pack, the empty pack of cigarettes, I think was suggested there was an outside force somewhere that was about to come into this, you know, family.
Et pour moi, en fait, comme c'est son premier livre, As It Is Your First Book, you know, c'est le symbole inaugural, the first symbol de son rapport, du rapport paranoïaque que son œuvre semble avoir avec la réalité.
Yes, first time of paranoia, because it's your first book, and
mm-hmm.
the first time it happens, it becomes sort of a symbol for the kind of the paranoia that gets developed in the further works.
Yes,
yes.
True.
Yeah.
But you have to understand the first word. One of the first words in Lesson Zero is afraid. People are afraid. What is it? What is it in France? One of the first words of the
c'est
book.
L'un des premiers mots dans Moins que Zéro, c'est le mot peur.
Peur.
Avoir peur, c'est to be
yeah.
afraid.
Mm.
Et en français, c'était vous en souvenez?
No,
yeah.
I don't remember. I have it here.
I'll check it.
another word. Another sentence. Coming back in Imperial Bedroom,
mm-hmm.
bedrooms is disappear here,
mm-hmm.
you know. Why is it so important for you? Because as a matter of fact, it is.
It's everywhere, isn't it? It's in Lunar Park.
Yeah, actually,
yeah.
Everywhere.
I don't know. I mean, look, again, writing a book is very emotional, and it's not always logical, and logic is always not good for a novel. A novel, in many ways, is a dream.
What is not good?
Logic. I think a book is a dream, you know. I think it's a lot of it is your fantasy. A lot of it is, doesn't really have to make sense. It's kind of poetry in a way.
But do you feel it as a fear or fantasy or something you want or something you're afraid by that program, disappear here, is it something you want often
Well, I think the meaning of those words changes in every book. The meaning of its meaning in Lesson Zero is very different from its meaning in Imperial Bedrooms. In Imperial Bedrooms, I mean, in Lesson Zero, it's more cultural, almost political in a way, because it's on a billboard announcing itself, looming over a city. It's looming over Sunset Boulevard. Those words disappear here. And now in Imperial Bedrooms, they are written on the mirror in his bathroom. In his apartment, actually, so it's now gotten closer to. This is why I cannot explain why I do what I do, because it often sounds dumb. It sounds dumb.
Not
It
at all,
sounds dumb. But that's what I was thinking of. I often don't answer these questions, but for you, I'll make an exception. It's the end of the day. You get one. You get one, and I'm not going to explain anything more that I've about the book.
Thank you very much. So, well, a couple of last questions. What happened with the movie The Informers? I read you didn't like it,
Don't
and
worry, don't worry, don't worry. I'm not going to go into it. Yes, go ahead. Yes.
So what happened with the Informers? I mean, I read there is Kim Basinger, Mickey Rourke, and although you didn't like it at all, why?
Well, no. Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger didn't like it either. Okay, so don't. It's just not
Okay.
me. I mean, there were many people involved that didn't work. The problem was ultimately there was a director and a producer who mishandled the material. And I think they would admit that they mishandled it. The director, I think, signed on to something or promised something that we began to realize as filming started he wasn't capable of doing. And by that time, it was sort of too late. We thought we could save the movie in the editing room. We thought we could save them, but we and there were drugs involved, and it was just not. 100 things go wrong when you make a movie, and I realized that while I oversaw what was going on with The Informers, and it really is kind of a miracle if a movie turns out good, if it turns out well, and so it's and it's not by any means a terrible film. It's just kind of a mess. It's kind of there's some good things to it. But there was a much better movie there that everyone signed on for. This is why we got all the money, and this is why we got the people, the actors. There was so many good actors in that movie, from Winona Ryder to Billy Bob Thornton to Kim Basinger to Mickey Rourke to Chris Isaac. It's just a very good cast, and it was everyone signed on to be in this vision of what we all thought it was going to be, and then things interrupted that vision, and so it didn't turn out so well. But it really, because of the cast and because it was based on a book of mine, it was slaughtered by the US critics. It was really, and kind of deservedly so. I mean, I can't say they were being totally unfair, but it was a high profile disaster, a high profile flop.
Okay, my last
Okay,
question.
yes.
Est-ce que vous avez une définition de la modernité?
Do you have a definition for what being modern is? Modernity.
What is it for
Is the
you?
word modernity. Can you define what to be modern means?
No, I can't. I mean,
So,
is that okay if I
okay.
don't? What does it mean to be modern?
Because you are
I
kind
don't
of
feel that
c'est un
I'm.
symbole de la modernité en littérature.
I guess to.
You're kind of a symbol for being modern, and
Right, I know.
what's modern in
I
literature?
know, I know. But I didn't make myself that symbol. You made me that symbol. I don't think I'm that symbol. So I don't think I'm modern.
Okay.
Oh, boy. I feel like I just wrote the final lines of dialogue for a day that went
So,
on. But thank you so much.
thank you very much.
I have got to go upstairs and change. It's fine if we're like 5 or 10 minutes late to the bookstore. I mean, it really is. We're not like rushing to like a live television date. Okay. Thank
Thank you
you.
very much.
You're very
Maybe I'll
welcome.
meet you at the bookshop
Please.
because I will ask you for
You could, if you
CD.
want me to do it
Yeah?
now
Okay.
without you having to come, that's totally fine.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, we're good.
Yeah,
Yeah, I have like 7 minutes actually. Oh great. I got stuff. What? Oh great. How long do you think it's? We don't want to get there anytime. I'd like to get there like 5 minutes after.
Yeah.
psychologically a very good theme. Why do you say that? I see people are twittering about being there. What's the name?
Laurent, like Lawrence, you know, Lawrence.
Lawrence, not Laurent.
Yeah, this is aunt with the T at the end.
It is
yeah.
A T.
Yeah,
Lawrence.
What's the first sentence of that book?
The first
sentence of
the
book.
Pour voir si le mot peur.
Les gens ont peur de se perdre sur les autoroutes de Saint-Germain. People are afraid.
Or
so this one, this one would be for
yes.
Your biggest fan. You know, cool. He's a barman. He's called Jean-Philippe.
Okay.
Jean-Philippe.
Jean-Philippe is J-E-A-N.
Yeah.
Hyphen.
Hyphen Philippe with two L's.
No, one L, two P's.
That's it. Okay, if people are going to want them signed, okay,
ready,
excellent.
I last time.
Cue cards on teleprompter.
Okay. Thank you again. Thank you very
Thank you
much.
Okay.
All right. Then I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll wait for you. Now.
Merci beaucoup, hein, monsieur.
Merci beaucoup.
Ben non, je vous en prie. Bonjour.
J'ai ma guidoine sur le.
D'accord. Ouais. D'accord.
Ça va toi?
Oui,
j'ai lu ton rapport.
Oui.
Ouais. Donc on va. Tu as une minute là? On discute, on attend, comme ça c'est bien. Ah, ça se passe bien?
Oui,
bon, super.
Super.